Chuck Chat Freestyle for March 23rd, 2007. Hey, everybody. It's been a long time. Well, it always feels like a long time with freestyle. I am on my way home from Milwaukee, just getting on to Interstate 94, south of town. I'm on that little road between 94 and the airport. There comes my exit. And coming home from the Ghost Ships Festival. But before I get into that, let's take a look back. You last heard from me on freestyle anyway. I don't know if many of you are listeners to some of the other podcasts of varying frequencies. And trying to see around this FedEx truck. Real fun. I was in Scotland and the wallet had gotten stolen and all of that soap opera. Yes, that was fun, wasn't it? Well, life has gotten on. As soon as I got home, first order of business was to get a new driver's license. So I got that. The picture, the old bearded picture with the long hair is no more, at least on the driver's license. Still there on the passport. I love watching the double and triple takes when they see that brake lights on the FedEx truck. Wonderful. He's trying to change lanes. I can't see. And I don't want to go to downtown Milwaukee, so I need to change lanes and get behind him again. So I got a new driver's license, and the credit cards have slowly been replacing. And life got on. I'm still trying to fill out the expense report from HE Double Hockey Sticks. Because while I've got the receipts, some of the transactions on the credit cards were on the old card and didn't make it to the new card, and some did, and some were reversed and then recharged, and big old mess. So that one still sits on my desk while I try and figure out what's what. And I owe about 100 pounds sterling back to the company, because in effect they gave me a cash advance. And the roads are wet and it's dark. And we'll get around this FedEx truck on a nice curve as we get onto the 894 bypass. So got home from Scotland all right. Had the passport, fortunately. Had a little bit of cash in my pocket so I could at least buy some breakfast. The flights home were interesting, as always. Got out of Edinburgh about an hour late, which put a crunch on the changeover time in London at Heathrow. And I was hoofing it pretty quick from Terminal 3 to Terminal 1 to catch the United flight. There was also another, you know when you're in a hurry going through an airport and you try to spot all the signs but you need to keep moving and you want the people on the moving walkway to get out of the way but they're just standing there having their own casual conversation, not scooting to one side like good people should be? That's kind of how it got with me. And as I was moving from Terminal 3 to Terminal 1 really, really quickly, following this Japanese man who was also in a hurry, going to apparently the same destination. Sorry, I just needed to focus on driving to change lanes again. While I was scrambling, I lost track of the signs and I didn't know where I was in the airport. And suddenly, you know, you're looking for Terminal 1 or Gate G or whatever it is, and it's gone. So it's really frustrating at times. You have to stop and ask directions. Oh, I do have an interesting tale from the IT world about my trip. When it started in Heathrow, like everything else, you know, I won't make too much of the trip back because I don't remember much of it anymore. But got to Edinburgh Airport at like 4:50 a.m. catch my flight. And there weren't a whole lot of people around, so I tried checking in at one of the kiosk machines, and it had a paper jam. Yeah, so even in airports, these little, anything with a printer seems to have a jam. So I went and tried to find somebody who could help me, went to the ticket counter, they said, We're not here. They weren't available. I won't even try my Scottish accent because it's horrible. But there was a tall gentleman who just came on duty. He looked rather young. And they pointed me to him to get the paper jam fixed. He opened up the machine, put it in a diagnostic mode, you know, touch upper left, upper right, twice here, there, twice there. Kind of looked like a video game what he was doing. He had the magic key, unlocked the thing, fixed the paper jam. There was no boarding pass for me in there. So I had to get in line and check my bags in manually. Meanwhile, about 5 minutes later, another lady comes up and says she has a paper jam in another one of the kiosks. And he opens it up and a whole bunch of paper falls out. One of which was my boarding pass. And if you asked me to put money on it, I would have said that was not the machine I was standing in front of. So it was, you know, just par for the course on that trip. My expectations went pretty low. The flight from Heathrow to Chicago, however, was not busy in the least. I think there were probably a total of 50 people on the whole plane. I was in, what do they call it, Economy Plus. Just right behind business class, which is right behind first class. And I had the entire row 18 to myself, all 9 seats of it, 2 on one window side, 2 on the other window side, and 5 in the middle. So about an hour into the flight, finished eating dinner, and eyed up the 5 seats in the middle, and took a snooze. I don't want to get on I-43 down to Beloit. I got to get in the other lane. And there's some construction going on. But the construction just ended. Someone's changing lanes to make room for me. Wonderful. Back to the story. Okay, so got home from Scotland. Everything was okay. A little bit tired. Bruce Barr warned me that when I get back, I have jet lag at weird times the next day or two. And sure enough, around noon on Thursday, it hit me. I'm going, wait a minute, it's only 6 p.m. in the UK. Why am I tired at noon? And I had to get through the afternoon because I had a 3 o'clock conference call to follow up on the Raleigh trip from January. And I just could not keep my eyes open. So I had a can of Dr. Pepper. Well, for me, that's a big surprise because I've been caffeine-free for years and years and years. But you know what? I was using it for medicinal purposes, and I only do it very, very rarely. So, yes, I had caffeine, and it kicked in about halfway through that meeting, or conference call. That was funny because I knew exactly when it hit my bloodstream and started hitting my brain. So what am I doing on the way home from Milwaukee? Oh boy, I had the day off. I took the day off and I came down to Milwaukee for the Ghost Ships Festival. For really one purpose and one purpose only, but it kind of led into a couple other things. John Chatterton, whom we talked with on Technorama, we interviewed him last April, had expressed an interest in podcasting, mostly video podcasting. Asking where do you think it's going and what do you think people are going to do with it and is it being adopted well? And we offered to help at that point, we being Craig Stepp and me. And I kept touch with John periodically throughout the year. And when I checked the calendar, around Christmas I think it was, I noticed that, well, last fall I noticed he was going to be in Traverse City. I have family in Traverse City. But that was too close to the Podcast Expo. I would have had to drive about 7 hours or take the car ferry. And really didn't want to take 2 or 3 days. So I put that one off. Just logistically it didn't work and family politically it didn't work. So I looked again on John's website and noticed that he was going to be at the Ghost Ships Festival in Milwaukee. I said, hey, Milwaukee, that's only an hour and a half away. So we started exchanging emails and I offered to buy him lunch and we could talk about podcasting and understand what his vision was. Very nice man. I got down here around 10 a.m. after dropping the kids off. Well, no, the girls rode their bikes to school today. So after they scooted off to school, I got on the road, and I got to the Four Points Sheraton, and there was really only a handful of people there, and the exhibit hall didn't look like it was completely set up yet. This is kind of an exposition sort of thing with keynotes and sessions, and much like any other convention or exposition. Well, I walked into one of the halls and I said, "Where is everybody?" And they said, "Oh, probably in the Baton Rouge or Lafayette room," whatever it was. And I looked in there, and that's where the vendor booths were half set up. And I said, "Am I early?" Because they hadn't even had the registration table set up yet. And they said, "Yes, you're quite early. Things really don't get rocking until about 3. Oh, I've got 5 hours. So I offered to help and did a little here and did a little there. Went and got some lunch. Took a nap in the van so that this drive home wouldn't be so tiring. Called home to let him know the schedule is a little off whack. Called John Chatterton and asked when we could get together. He was being shuttled around. I think there were some radio or television appearances he had to make in Milwaukee. Somebody else was taking care of that. And got on a phone screening interview for our IT person. Our IT person in Raleigh has left. So we're mad scrambling to try and get them filled in, which will come up again in just a little bit. So I've got more travel coming up. Called Donna to let her know that the schedule had changed and that I could, Lisa had expressed interest in coming down, I could possibly run home, hour and a half, get her, hour and a half back, registration, $20, maybe Julie's coming too, another $20, and, you know, that was a lot of back and forth for a maybe and a lot of expense, so we opted not to. And I felt really bad because Friday night is family night at karate, and I like going to family night with Lisa. We have a lot of fun. Oh my gosh, we laughed so hard last Friday with the kids and the parents, and we played, what was it, karate baseball. You had to either use a punch or a kick to send the ball. And there was all kinds of shenanigans going on with stealing bases, and literally stealing bases, and stealing kids, moving them from base to base. But the laughter we got out of it was worth probably 50 crunches or half sit-ups, if you will. So I got the schedule all rearranged, trying to get around this rather large semi-tractor trailer, going around a corner. Probably hear that background noise. I am on the lavalier or lapel microphone, so it's not as good as it should be. Got the schedule all straightened out. Went and got a big old fat gyro for lunch. Delicious, but filling. And I feel like a tub. I'm burping up onions and gyro all afternoon. Then I took a snooze in the van, like I mentioned. Then things started getting moving around 3. And John Chatterton and Richie Kohler came in. And I got done what I wanted to do. Two things, really. I know I said one before, but two. The second one was to get some signatures. When I told my mom that I was coming down, my parents, if you don't know, were kind of pioneers in scuba diving back in the late 60s. And you know, the name Tomasi carries some weight, or at least for the older generation, in scuba diving. And since this is a Great Lakes thing, Great Lakes Festival, what is it, the Great Lakes Shipwrecks Preservation Society, oh gosh, I can't even remember who sponsors this thing. There were lots of people from around the area, a lot of people from my old stomping grounds, and some of them recognized the name and some didn't, and we had an interesting conversation, and it made me realize just how long I've been out of the scuba diving scene. Kind of made me long to get back into it, but goodness gracious, I've got enough expenses and other things right now. But great community of people, and it was fun meeting them. So my mom had read Shadow Divers by Robert Curzon, and I had read it prior to interviewing John. Actually, I listened to it, downloaded it from audible.com. So I went and purchased a hard copy, and they graciously autographed both copies, one for me and one for my mother. And when I told them who I was, you know, John immediately recognized the name, and we started talking there at the book signing table. But it was obvious that they had other people to talk to, so I said, how about we get together for dinner? And he said, oh, we've already got plans, but you're welcome to join us. So I felt like a fifth wheel, or in our case, the seventh wheel at times, but the conversation with, they were talking about coordinating their next expedition. They've got a very deep wreck in the Great Lakes. They just came from Thailand to do some exploratory research on the USS Legato, I believe it is, Legato, in the Sea of Thailand, a U.S. submarine that sank in May of 1945 with all hands, kind of went missing in action. Well, the British expedition team found this submarine, and John and Richie were literally there like days ago. We watched a video that even they hadn't seen, that the Manitowoc Historical Society, I think it was, put together. They sponsored the expedition. And we talked about that. We talked about, you know, diving in general. But one of the gentlemen, Bill, I don't remember his last name, but we'll probably be in touch, has some videos. And John wants to put together some short video clips. Some underwater scenes, some historical background that will promote and get the name out there. And it sounds like, you know, the video production will be done, and it just needs a little bit of help with RSS feeds and whatnot, which is, to me, a walk in the park. And the traffic's getting a little crazy here. So that was the other reason I went down, was to see where I could assist. My mantra this year is, how can I help? And that seemed like a good one. I was just explaining this Tuesday night to somebody else at work. One of the things I find fascinating about podcasting, I love the interaction, reaching out to all parts of the globe. I love talking and emailing to the listeners. I love doing the interviews. There's just so much to enjoy. But I also like to see where this is, where these little tangents lead. Things like doing the voice of Dr. Samuel Hamill for T. Morris in his audiobook Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword, available at audiobooks.com, shameless plug. That was very interesting. I got a message week before, from somebody at throughvoices.com who's looking for some, albeit volunteer help, with an animated DVD they're going to produce next year. And they wanted some character voices done. That was kind of fun. If I get a chance tomorrow, I'll finish the other 20 characters they sent me. Or they can just live with the 4 or 5 I sent them last week. Just little odds and ends. Things like this. Helping out John Chatterton. Very fascinating. It's sort of like watching ice crystals grow. You never know what's going to happen until they're formed. And that's what I find very fascinating about following a few of these leads. Yeah, it can be a bit stressing on the time schedule. But, you know, who hears about this? If you don't go out and do this kind of stuff, I just don't feel like I'm growing as a person. Does it help my overall career as an IT manager? Well, in some respects it does. When I was doing phone screening today, or interviews, a lot of the same skills that I used or learned from interviewing guests on Technorama are the same. Think on your feet. What's your next question? What are you getting out of the answer? How does it feed into the next thing? What are you really looking for? Those types of skills feed directly from podcasting into candidate interviewing. And I had another thought halfway through, but now it escaped me, so let me retrace that. Feeding the interviews and Technorama and... what the heck. Can't remember now. It'll come back. So it's really been a fun journey so far. And I say so far because I know it will continue. And I thank the fates that I can continue. And I thank my family for putting up with this. I do some crazy stuff like take off for a day. Donna has been terribly supportive. She was the one who got all the credit card things straightened out when I was over in Scotland with no wallet. She's the one who is taking care of the girls tonight while I'm traveling home. She's terrific. And I tell her this all the time. Interestingly enough, I gotta tell you that our jobs just got a lot closer together. So we're having more work-related discussions, but hey, we're communicating. And that's what's important. The reason for that is because we work for the same company, if you didn't know. She's in more of the... she's got more of a finance background, mainframe type stuff. She was on the project to stand up our ERP, our Enterprise Resource Program for the company. And I've always been involved with the engineering side of things. Engineering applications, in-house web development, that sort of thing. So different tracks in IT and actually different branches of the company. If you kind of think of it as, she works for IBM, but I work for Rational or Lotus. You know, not necessarily something our company bought, but a whole different branch. That aside, corporate IT, where she works, has been developing processes and procedures that have helped manage their programs, because as the team grows and gets more global, and we are global now with resources in Penang, and work instructions and SOPs become very integral, they've been developing these great ways to manage the processes and manage the projects or enhancements or break fix or support work. And the engineering IT group has not had a good handle on that. So we're trying to adopt some of their processes and graft our things onto theirs. And I'm going through a lot of discovery and rediscovery of things we do, how we've done them, why we want to go forward. And it's oh so much fun with communications. And in between all of that, you know, we're having these great conversations about, well, how can senior management prioritize a job if they don't know what the scope of the effort is? Because scope and definition comes after prioritization. Chicken and egg scenario, if you will. A lot of fun. And along with that is trying to interview for the position in Raleigh, which means on Monday, I'm going to drive to Chicago, get on a plane, and fly to Raleigh. No, I will not be able to stop by and see Craig this time, because it's just going to be too quick, down and back. I've got to interview 3 candidates so far, possibly 4. 3 candidates on Tuesday morning, and then I fly back Tuesday afternoon to Chicago, drive up to Milwaukee, and have dinner with Mark Horseman from Manager Tools. So you'll probably get another one of these, if not Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, with a follow-up on that, on this same stretch of road. Gonna have deja vu in about 3 days for me. So I look forward to that, actually. I'm hoping we can get somebody in the seat in Raleigh real soon, because they've got an office move coming up on April 13th, and we've got people covering. We've got people in our office in Wisconsin going out on vacation, and I need to hire a contractor. So lots of stuff moving, lots of parts moving, things going on. Am I stressed? No way. No way. I love this. I mean, it has been full on afterburners. Prove what you can do. Yeah, there were a couple slip-ups this week, but you know what? I learned from them. Try to get better and just keep going, because this is our company's in a state of transition for a number of reasons. There's been some management changes, all of them positive, with the minor exception that one of our senior executives had to take a medical leave, which was the catalyst for more shifting around. But I thank Mark Horseman for nudging me in the right direction, mentoring me on a lot of these things, and they're starting to pay off as I see some of these positional changes, and I've made alliances with a lot of people that my job is, I'm happy, very happy. And a week like this doesn't bother me. If we can see problems coming and have solutions ready for them, all the better. Hey, I've rambled on for, you know, a full-on 26, 27 minutes. I appreciate your time. I will give you regular updates. Things are going very well right now. It's a minor exception. I've got another hour worth of driving ahead of me, but what the heck? At least I got some rest this afternoon. Had a great time. Got a great gift from my mother. The autographed Book of Shadow Divers. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. Even if you're not a diver, it's a good historical lesson, good personal, a lot of human drama in there. Good book. Robert Curzon, Shadow Divers. I picked up a used copy at Powells.com, which is where I usually get my used books. You can also find it at Barnes & Noble and whatnot. Lots of copies if you want to listen to it. Audible.com. You can get it there. Not that I'm trying to pimp the heck out of this thing, but I did enjoy it. I am currently between books, which is unusual. Usually I've got three half done. I think the next one I'm going to read is Say It With Charts. Yes, I have to go back to something work-related. Excuse me. But again, I've rambled on long enough. I appreciate your time. If you want to send me an email or a voicemail, Chuck at chuckchat.com. Voicemail 206-222-CHAT. Oh, a little tickle in my throat, so I'll get out of here before I blow your ears out. Take care. Goodbye. Before I blow your ears out. Take care. Goodbye.
Farpoint Media, powered by Podango.